From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Consul General in San Francisco held a virtual culinary bazaar of Idul Fitri. Garuda Indonesia in Malaysia continues to provide services during Idul Fitri. Now the news in details. The Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in San Francisco used the momentum of Idul Fitri to organize the Idul Fitri Culinary Virtual Bazaar. The virtual bazaar was held via the Zoom application platform and was broadcast live on the YouTube channel, according to a written statement from the Indonesian Consul General in San Francisco, which was received in Jakarta on Sunday. As many as 285 Indonesians reportedly participated in the virtual bazaar with enthusiasm. They are Indonesian citizens living in the working area of the Indonesian Consul General in San Francisco, which includes Northern California, Washington State, Oregon, Alaska, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, and Northern Nevada, and from various other regions such as Los Angeles and New York. Indonesian Consul General in San Francisco Simon D.I. Sukarno said, "These activities was carried out in the context of welcoming Idul Fitri. Through the virtual bazaar, it is expected to be a platform to bring together Indonesian culinary entrepreneurs with buyers." According to him, the virtual bazaar aims to support the Indonesian culinary business in the United States. Country manager of PT Garuda Indonesia Persero Tbk Malaysia, HM Frederick Kasiepo, said that Garuda Indonesia continue to provide air transportation services to and from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on Idul Fitri 1441 Hijriah. Frederick said that when took Garuda Indonesia off with flight number GA821 on the Kuala Lumpur-Jakarta route from Kuala Lumpur International Airport, Malaysia on Sunday. Frederick added that Idul Fitri this year was somewhat different from previous year because it coincided with the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, passengers on the plane could not be fully loaded from and to Kuala Lumpur because of the obligations of maintaining physical distance. The Yogyakarta administration will apply new normal health protocols starting in July, including in the tourism industry. Kandarman Tapaskara Aji, the administration secretary, said that one of the regulations would limit the number of visitors to tourist destinations to 100 people, along with tourist destination. Hotels, shopping malls, and traditional markets will also have to comply with the protocols. Hotels, for instance, must provide hand sanitizers and hand washing stations. The number of guests per room will also be limited. For shopping malls and markets, organizers will have to be prepared for large crowds and make sure that visitors wear face masks. Regarding why the protocols were to be applied in July, Aji said, "One of the factors was that social assistance funds would end in June. Afterward, the public would be expected to resume their activities and businesses while adhering to health protocols." This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Until now, the number of positive patients coronavirus COVID-19 in Singapore still ranks first or higher when compared to Indonesia and a number of countries in Asian region. As quoted from Worldometers on Sunday, the number of COVID-19 patients in Singapore was 31,068 cases. It was stated that 23 patients died, while those recovered are 13,882 cases. But the growth rate of Singapore's new COVID-19 cases is relatively more controlled in the last 4 days in a row. The addition of the number of new cases of COVID-19 in Singapore has also been successfully maintained, on average airways below 2% per day. The UK's government has indicated it is prepared to rescue large British companies severely impacted by the coronavirus crisis. The bailout plan, named Project Birch, was mentioned by Transport Secretary Grant Sharpe in Parliament last week when discussing the future of the aviation industry. Treasury Ministry said bailouts would only be considered as the last resort. In a statement, a Treasury spokesperson said, beyond that, many firms are getting support from established market mechanisms such as existing shareholders, bank lending, and commercial finance. The BBC understands the Treasury would have to notify Parliament of any spend incurred, and that although companies might seek financial assistance, this does not mean such support will be given. Earlier in the week, U.S. President Donald Trump sent a letter to the World Health Organization threatening to exit the international body and permanently suspend all funding, demanding that the agency demonstrate independence from Beijing. An exit by the United States from the World Health Organization would be unimaginable, as the country and the agency have been connected since the very beginning. This was stated by the organization Assistant Director General of General Management, Stuart Simmons. When asked about Trump's recent acquisitions in his letter to the agency, Simmons describes them as a wrong on their face. In his letter, POTUS blamed the WHO in Beijing for concealing vital information on the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic in China and the nation's slow response, demanding that the agency demonstrate independence from China. The agency expressed their regret at Trump's action, denying the acquisitions and slamming them as politicized. China denounced the acquisitions, calling on the Trump administration not to politicize the pandemic and turn it into a blame game, insisting that Beijing data on COVID-19 has been transparent and accurate from the beginning. The president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, expressed his desire to discuss possible cooperation in rocket construction with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Having previously suggested the possibility of building Chinese missiles in Belarus, Lukashenko insisted that there should be no dependence on foreign actors. The statements came after Lukashenko was updated on the state of missiles development in Belarus and the construction of Chinese rockets. In particular, he was told that there have been successful moves towards the development and eventual deployment of the country's own missiles that could destroy targets up to 300 kilometers away. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, listener. Here is commentary for today entitling Eid al-Fitr celebration amid COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesian Muslims community celebrated Idul Fitri, 1st of Shawwal, 1441 Hijriah, or Lebaran Day on Sunday. The determinations of the day, which is the most important holiday for Indonesian, who are predominantly Muslims, was decided based on the results of the ISBAT sessions held by the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs on Friday. Due to COVID-19 pandemic, this year's Lebaran celebration are very different from previous years. The excitement on the day of victory after fasting in the month of Ramadan becomes greatly reduced or cannot be felt by Muslims, especially in areas that implement large-scale social restrictions. This year's Eid al-Fitr prayers, which are usually held in mosques and fields, attended by hundreds or even thousands of people, could not be seen in most parts of Indonesia. hospitality activities by gathering with families and friends are also almost non-existent. Going back to one's hometowns, that has become a tradition of Muslims, not only in Indonesia, but also in some countries over the globe, is also prohibited. If there are still those who can still perform Idul Fitri prayers in the mosque or fields, because they are permitted by the local governments, then the number is not many. While gathering in large numbers or going home in various ways in principle is still prohibited, because it violates the large-scale social restrictions determined by the government. A few days before Idul Fitri, the Ministry of Religious Affairs had warned Muslims to adhere to the health protocols. Muslims are urged to stay at home with the nuclear family and not receive visitors to prevent the transmission of the COVID-19 virus. According to the Ministry of Religious Affairs, gatherings can be done via social media. This is certainly very different from the habits practiced by Indonesian Muslims so far. The difference of this year's Lebaran celebration was also conveyed by President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iryana Joko Widodo when delivering congratulations on Idul Fitri, 1st of Shawwal, 1441 Hijriah, via video from the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Saturday. In the video, President Joko Widodo said that this year's Lebaran celebration was different from previous years because of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the president, the Idul Fitri is demanding sacrifice not to go home and not in touch with each other as usual, because currently, public health is the most important thing. What the president said is true, because the public health and safety are the most important point to face the future. After the pandemic ends, which will certainly be full of challenges. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
My name is Petar Randonov. I'm ambassador of Bulgaria to Indonesia. On the occasion of the Idul Fitri, I would like to offer to all Muslims in Indonesia and abroad my warmest greetings and hereby convey my best wishes for health, well-being and prosperity. Approximately 10% of the population in Bulgaria are Muslims, also celebrating Idul Fitri. In the festive month of Ramadan, which is a symbol of spiritual growth and time for humility and compassion, I wish to express my most sincere hopes for peace and tolerance and to appeal for trust, unity, cooperation and solidarity to overcome the current challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. I firmly believe that after we defeat this challenge with our joint efforts, we will continue to strengthen the long-standing friendly relations between Bulgaria and Indonesia and to cooperate in areas of mutual interest for the good of our peoples and for the sake of the world peace and security.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on May 25, 1958, when Ismail Marzuki passed away. Ismail Marzuki is an Indonesia's great composer. He passed away on May 25, 1958. His name was immortalized as Art Center in Jakarta, namely Taman Ismail Marzuki, located in Salemba, Central Jakarta. Ismail Marzuki began his debut in music in the age of 17 years old. He succeeded to compose a song entitled O Sarinah in 1931 for the first time. In 2004, he has been named as one of Indonesia's national hero figures.
Next event is that in 1963, Organization of Africa United was established. On May 25, 1963, as many as 32 heads of African states signed the establishment of Organization of Africa United in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The initiator of the organization was Gamal Abdel Nasser from Egypt, Kwame Nkrumah from Ghana, and Ahmad Sekou Touré from Guinea. The organization aimed to unite African countries in a bid to solve conflict among members and to fight for the independence of African countries that were still colonized. In 2002, in the Conference of African Head States in South Africa, the organization's name was changed to be Africa Union, which aims to expand economic cooperation in Africa. Currently, Africa Union has 53 member countries and its headquarters in Ethiopia. The last event is that in 1979, McDonnell Douglas DC 10-10 from American Airlines crashed in Chicago, Illinois, United States of America. McDonnell Douglas DC 10-10 aircraft from American Airlines crashed at Chicago's residence, Illinois, United States of America, when taking off from O'Hare International Airport on May 25, 1979. The aircraft was in a trip from Chicago to Los Angeles and was ready to take off. The accident, which was caused damage of aircraft's machine, killed all 273 passengers, including 13 crews and 2 people on land. The accident is the biggest accident in the US history until now. And listener, that was Today in History.
Jangan pernah ragu. Nasibmu.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Indonesia and South Korea to build two mine refinery worth $1.5 billion. Indonesian state-owned enterprises PT Pertamina and PT Nindya Karya, along with the consortium of the South Korean companies, signed a memorandum of understanding on the development of the Dumai Refinery Development Master Plan Second Processing Projects, worth $1.5 billion. The head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Bahlil Lahadalia, as reported by Antara on Thursday, said, "The Dumai Refinery is aimed at increasing domestic oil and fuel production's capacity. Thus, it will reduce the dependence on Indonesia's oil imports and is expected to be able to overcome the current account deficit going forward." The MOU was signed by Pertamina Director of Processing and Petrochemical Projects, Ignacio Talulembang, Managing Director of Nindya Karya, Haidar Karim, and the Korean Consortium, represented by Jong Sam Sung. Chairman of the DH Global Holdings Co. Ltd. and was witnessed virtually by the Investment Coordinating Board head, Bahlil Lahadalia. According to Bahlil, the collaborative initiative came after his visit to South Korea at the end of last year. He said that by combining the three parties in the Dumai refinery project, investment is expected to have a strategic significance. When crude oil prices are down, he assessed that the Dumai Refinery Development Master Plan Second Processing Unit projects is important because it is one of the Pertamina's priority refineries. The project is expected to have an impact on the development of equity in Indonesia as a whole. The mega project is included in the presidential regulation concerning the acceleration of the implementation of national strategic projects. Bahlil also stated that the Investment Coordinating Board encouraged the creation of strategic partnerships between foreign and domestic investment companies to run the project. According to Bahlil, his side will also involve national entrepreneurs in the region. Resulting in collaboration, he will also provide fiscal incentives and licensing. Meanwhile, the director of the Processing and Petrochemicals mega project, Ignacio Talulembang, confirmed that the Dumai refinery is a priority to be completed immediately. With the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding, Nindya Karya and the Korean Consortium have become strategic partners with Pertamina and will conduct an upgrading study at the Dumai refinery. PT Pertamina hopes that in 2020, there is an important milestone that can be achieved. That was My Indonesia Today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Tak pernah terbayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya. Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersamanya tak hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa I'm
Honorary Voice Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know Bagedur Beach in Banten. Stay tuned. Bagedur Beach has white sand with huge waves. Various trees grow lush and shady around the beach. Its solid sand makes the beach be able to be passed by motor vehicles, so that the beach often becomes place for motorcycles race. If you come to the beach by motor vehicles, you can directly drive or ride your motor vehicles at the side of the beach while enjoying the waves of the South Beach. With vast expanse of sand, Bagedur Beach can be used as field to play volleyball, football, or other games. Visitors can swim at the beach safely because its beach is flat and without coral. As tourism object, there are lodging facilities. In addition, around the beach, there are many food stalls which sell various seafood dishes such as roasted fish, roasted squid, and many others. Bagedur Beach is located at Sukamana Village, Malingping District, Lebak Regency, Banten. It can be accessed from Jakarta through Tangerang Merak Toll by land transportation. The distance of Bagedur from Jakarta is around 200 km by taking around 6 hours, while from Serang, the capital city of Banten, is around 130 km by taking 4.5 hours. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I am Muhammad Azad, Ambassador of the Islamic Republic of Iran to Indonesia. On this auspicious occasion, I wish all Muslims of Indonesia and across the world a happy Eid al-Fitr 1441 Hijriah. May this divine festive purify our spirituality, bring joy and happiness to us all. Selamat Hari Raya Idul Fitri 1441 Hijriah. Mohon maaf lahir dan batin.
Apakah kau ragu padaku? matamu. Apakah itulah caramu?
Listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is teh manis, or in English, sweet tea. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about teh manis, or in English, sweet tea. Location at Joko's house. Joko's family is celebrating Lebaran. Tony helps Joko and Dinda to prepare foods and sweet tea. Dinda tastes the sweet tea.
Tehnya kurang manis.
Oh, aku akan ambilkan gula.
Hah? Biar aku saja.
Oke. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Maaf.
Listener, after the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, teh manis or sweet tea. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Tehnya kurang manis. Tehnya kurang manis. In English, the tea is less sweet. Gula. Gula, in English, sugar. Aku akan ambil gula. Aku akan ambil gula. In English, I will take sugar. Biar aku saja. Biar aku saja. In English, let me take it. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. In English, I put the sugar near the stove. Listener, in a dialogue, Dinda said, biar aku saja, when Tony will take the sugar. The expression is used to express willingness to help other person, but it is usually used in an informal situation. For example, biar saya saja yang memotong kue. Biar dia saja yang mengambil pisau. In the conversation you've just listened, tehnya kurang manis. Nya, at the word tehnya, has definite meaning. Format of the sentence like this is usually found in a daily speaking. Another example, Tony said, garpunya tidak ada, means Tony did not find the fork he was looking for. Listener, if you are at a restaurant and ask for sweet tea, but not too sweet, you can say, gulanya sedikit saja, or in English, just a little bit sugar. If you do not want to use sugar at all, you can ask waiters for a sugarless tea by saying teh tawar. Well, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Tehnya kurang manis.
Oh, aku akan ambilkan gula.
Hah? Biar aku saja.
Oke. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Maaf.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. And please convey more information, if any. For example, alamat rumah saya adalah Jalan Jambu nomor 4. Warna rumah saya putih dengan pagar berwarna hitam. Rumah saya mempunyai 2 lantai. Di depan rumah saya ada pohon mangga. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I am Sajjad Haider Khan, Shazri Affairs at Pakistan Embassy in Jakarta. I wish to convey my heartiest greetings and best wishes to all Muslim brothers and sisters in Indonesia and Pakistan for a very happy Eid al-Fitri. The last few months have been very challenging for us all due to the COVID-19 pandemic. May Allah bless us all and keep us safe, healthy and happy. Ameen, summa ameen.
Thank you. telah ku baca dan aku mengerti betapa merindunya dirimu akan hadirnya diriku di dalam hari-harimu bersama lagi. Kau bertanya padaku kapan aku akan kembali lagi. Katamu kata kuasa melawan gejolak di dalam darah yang membara menahan rasa pertemuan kita nanti. Saat kau ada di sisiku semua kata rindu semakin membuatku tak berdaya menahan rasa ingin jumpa.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Senja. In this song, Sutejo, the song composer, describes the beauty of dusk when the sun is leaning to the west. Night comes, the sun is replaced by full moon, which shines decorating the beauty of the night. Although it happens every single day, the dusk presents its own special beauty. Well, listener, let's listen to Toto Salmon with the keroncong song entitled Senja. Enjoy the song.
Surya telah condong ke barat, senjakala pun menjelang. Angin malam bawa kisah hari petang. Sang surya beradu senyum simpul menghias bumi ini. Ratu bertata di malam terang cuaca, ganti surya
Voice of Indonesia.
kadang murung Kau pergi berlari dan menangis
jauh kau coba untuk sembunyi satu
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safirri Adalah. See you on the next English program.